Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining eTech's podcast. Today, we have a special guest. You know, I've known Scott for a few years. Scott Thomas is the AVP over at Cox. 31 years he's been at Cox, 25 years in the contact center space. So what I asked him for is I said, listen, we have some young people out there that are trying to learn to do, you know, just to do some things differently. And we know that you guys love our podcast. And, you know, I asked Scott as a friend, I said, you know, please just let us get some of your wisdom into your knowledge bases. So he agreed. So Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. And let's just kick it off with a couple things that I have in my mind. You know, the first thing, so I've been in the business, as you know, about 30 some years myself. I think you and I probably both had green screens back then when we started our careers. But like the one thing when you think about leadership, today what I'm seeing a lot about is compliance, quality, things like that. Like, so when your leadership team asks you things like that, how are you producing evidence of a good quality program and basically being compliant in today's ever-changing laws? Like, what would you talk about that?
You know, first off, it's how are you providing value to your organization, to your team? You know, when you think about the old days of quality programs, you got five calls monitored. It was, did they check these boxes? And now with technology partners like you all and the QEval program, we're getting, tens of thousands of transactions checked. And so it's not just a, did you get the right five, but then it's how are you providing insights to the team or to the business, right? It's, you know, saying you missed a closing or saying you missed, you know, validating who that person was versus being able to show an actual behavior or the actual sentiment of how that person was feeling. You know, that's real for somebody. And then being able for them to see their own results real time, right? It's not like I'm waiting a week to our meeting with a QA coach. I'm literally seeing what happened an hour ago, you know? And so you can course correct. And then you can also provide like the overall value to your business, right? Where do we have opportunities? And I mean, my centers, we get well over 1 million phone calls a year. So being able to take that data and provide that to our other teams, our product teams in the business, not only help compliance, it helps the overall business improve.
That's just awesome. So Manu, I'm going to flip it over to you because you started your career as an agent. What was it, about 13, 14 years ago, I think?
Yeah, I was about to say that Scott took me down the memory lane, actually. So I started like 14 years back as an agent, worked through almost every level of, you know, role in the organization, operation, training, quality, until Jim sent me to school. And then I got into AI and product. And one thing that I hated the most, Scott, I'll be sitting there, you know, having these conversations with the customer, and suddenly I'll get that one evaluation per week. It'll say, Maru, you suck because you didn't do this specifically on this evaluation. And I'm like, seriously? And then the feedback will come 4 to 5 days afterwards. So I've been doing this wrong for a week. Next 4 or 5 days, I'll do it wrong again because you're going to coach me after 5 days. And this entire cycle was, in the methodology, was so punitive that you never felt like somebody's trying to help you improve. So you're absolutely right about that. And now it happens in the moment. You know exactly what to do. You know exactly, what does training look like? And you see if you improve where you get. So yeah, I completely agree, Scott.
That's awesome. I think we all have stories of those bosses. I remember early in my career, you know, they would always say the same thing. Like, you know, this, you had this call last week. Last week? Lucky I remember what I had for breakfast, let alone what happened on this call last week. But that was just so, that was so cool. So let me ask this question. So in your deal, in your dealership programs, like I know that environment has really changed, right? Regions, product categories, customer segments. It's not like the old days where you just had a couple choices. How do you think, like, what's your philosophy on maintaining consistency but you have all of those different departments, different regions. How do you maintain consistency?
Wow. For me, we actually just got done noted a couple of weeks ago. For me, it's trying to set goals early on and have them be realistic to what folks do. It's call center. You can have death by a thousand metrics. I think anybody that's been in the space, we measure everything. And if you put 100 metrics in front of a frontline agent, you've lost them. Pick two or three very important things to your customer base or the customers that those people are dealing with that really drive the behavior you want and make that the focus. We stick with four areas. That's it. I have four areas that we focus our folks on. We set goals early in the year. I remember when I would get my goals like in April. It's like, okay, I'm four months into my review, guys. You know, and so we try and get our goals out before January's over. Have a clear path, and then using the data we get, right? We update and refresh our stuff every year. That's another thing, especially anybody like new running a center. What worked last year is not going to work this year. We're moving way too fast in today's society. And so looking at what trends you had last year, what areas you think there's some opportunity, talk to your customers. I mean, I get on and talk with our customers out there and find out like where their pain points are at, and then set goals. Don't try and move the entire mountain at once. Set goals to move pieces of it and just keep driving your business forward. That to me has worked over the years. Seems like anytime I try and take the entire thing at once, there's always something that falls apart versus moving it a piece at a time in the right direction.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Manu, that brings me to a question. Like in our world, you have all these different scores and different behaviors that, you know, Scott's talking about. And in the old days, like you just mentioned, like when you were an agent, everything was subjective, right? Like, how do you maintain objectivity with those nice four line goals?
Yeah, so
Good,
Scott.
I was going to say, one of the things I do is my reporting and my teams that measure those goals are not part of the call center.
Wow.
I keep them separate. And I don't want anybody scoring or reporting that is impacted by the result, because then sometimes your result leans towards that benefit.
You wouldn't. Now, Scott, in the call center business, there's no favoritism going on. Are you kidding me? I do remember. In my early days, you wanted to be buddy with the QA guy, take him out for lunch, sitting at my table. And Manu, what do you have to add about the subjectivity and objectivity? Anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I love, you know, how Scott has, you know, managed this, because I think that's one of the best ways of making sure that you remove any bias. And we have seen that working as well, Jim. So, yeah, that makes sense. But coming back to one key issue that we used to see, when a human evaluator is going through a conversation, there are so many things that can happen. They can get distracted for a second, or they like that one guy on the call, or they think, hey, they tried enough. And they are looking at the conversation, or maybe they only are looking at the conversation from agent perspective, what they did right, what they did wrong. But that conversation is actually a gold mine. When you evaluate it properly without subjectivity, you are giving very clear feedback to the agent on what they can do to improve and improve their career. But at the same time, you are understanding what your customers want. Every time a customer is on a call with you, they are specifying a need that they have from you. And if you cannot quantify that and the resolution pathway, then you are leaving all of that data for, you know, nothing. So there is so much you can do once you start analyzing these conversations objectively.
That's actually good insights. And, you know, it brings up my next question. So, you know, we're all been in the call center. We started our careers young. So, you know, Scott, with your 31 plus years experience, like, what happens when the board of directors, the executive team, they come to you and say, hey, you know, where are you going in the next 2 to 3 years from now, since you've evolved? You know, and the other question I have as part of that is, what keeps you up personally as an executive? What keeps you up at night?
Well, as far as the 2-3 year outlook, we actually have a pretty good cadence. So every year we look 3 years out. So when we're doing our annual planning, when we're doing our budgeting, when we do things for our business, we're looking at this coming year, but we're also estimating the next 3 years total. And then we reevaluate every time. So you're always kind of gut checking your assumptions. And quite frankly, having good partners, you guys have been a good partner of ours in many different spaces, but having partners that have different perspective than you, it's one thing when, if my leadership comes to me and I've got a strong opinion about something, I'm looking at it from inside the company. And to have partners that work with many companies that are looking at us like how we compare to others in the space, it's going to give you a little better insight, right? You may not want to hear it sometimes, but you need to hear it, right? And so you hear those kind of things, and so ultimately you can plan for those. And as far as is coming the next few years, I mean, technology is moving fast, right? AI is the hot word right now. And for us right now, it's looking at how do we remove the human error element, but keep the human touch, right? So a great example that you were talking about all the data, Manu, was in these calls. Well, legacy old school call center was you gave an agent a pick list and they picked from some reasons why the customer called, and it was very subjective. And it was usually one of the first three things picked, right? Nobody's scrolling through the list. Whereas now having these technologies resources available and you can listen to the whole thing, you can get true reasons why. And then you can use that data to plan out, okay, how am I going to drive down those client pain points, right? Nobody wants to call their support center, right? They're calling because they have that need. And so then it's, okay, what are my biggest opportunities? And then how over this next journey am I going to fix those? And for me, it's that piece, but it's also meeting our folks where they want to be. Every customer base is different, but you got to know where they want to meet you. And you need to have those pathways to get to your team, because if not, you're not going to have the top satisfaction scores you could have.
Yeah, that's a fair point. When you think about like the old days, one thing I would ask Manu specifically, data has always been siloed in our organizations, right? So you had reporting over here, something over here, and people are talking about data. Right. If you can't connect to all the data points, like how do you really organize data when it's been siloed for decades? Manu, do you have any thoughts on the siloed data theory?
Well, absolutely, Jim. And I do have a question for Scott later as well.
Sure.
But talking about data silos first. So one of the things that we realize, Jim, every time we talk to our customer during the 1 billion interaction event that we did last year or this year when we ingested almost more than 2 billion. So one thing is, we realize, Scott, that every supervisor is saying the exact same thing, no matter which contact center it is. They are saying, hey, we come in the day, we open the telephony first, look at the report, and I build my small Excel file at the side. Then I'll open quality, then I'll open CRM, then I'll open survey, and I'll keep building and getting the data that I really need to coach my team. And what's happening is there are so many data silos created and they don't talk to each other. So the people who need this data to make decision, they have to spend time interpreting it. And that's one thing that we changed by building a ecosystem of integration that is so robust. In fact, organizations like CMP said that we are best in the world when it comes to it. You can plug in any tech stack out there into QL and get that data within QL. So now it becomes not to market QL, but just, what we did with it. So now that you can see a very clear single stream of insights that is correlated to each other. And we have seen supervisors saying it saves them more than 40% of their time that they were spending just hunting data. And now they are taking more actions. But a follow-up, something, Scott, that I always wanted to ask you, but I saved for here because I wanted others to learn from it as well. I have seen the amazing attrition numbers that you have. And that's a story I think it's worth telling to the world, because I have never seen that in my 13, 14 years. I don't know, Jim, if you have seen that. I would love
never.
To learn from you what it is and how you reach there.
We are very proud of that. call centers typically don't have attrition in the teens, and actually we're at 18% right now. And that's how we finished last year and are setting goals to beat that this year. The biggest thing is you got to provide a path of development. So one of the things I hated when I first got into the call center space, and especially in tech support worlds, you were a certain kind of rep, right? You did a certain type of call. That was it. That's what you did. Every repetitive, whether it was a fixing an internet modem or fixing a phone problem or fixing software, you were niched. And the problem with that is, first off, scalability, right? You ended up with these massive teams of people because you couldn't share work. And then the other problem that you have there is you get redundant every day. Eventually it's like, okay, I don't really want to do this anymore, right? And especially folks, a lot of times call centers are an entry point into a company or a business, especially us with software. And so what we did is we built what was called career progression. And what we did is we started off with, okay, you come in the door, you're a technician one. And we actually incentivized. We built a plan with our finance partners. And we said, okay, if you come in and you learn how to do this part of our software, you're a tech one and you're in this pay scale. But if you take the initiative to go learn this second one, now you're a tech two and we're going to open up that pay scale more. And then if you learn a third, you're a tech three and we're going to open up it even more. And we go all the way up to a tech four, or what we call a lead. And the path for each one of those is about a year. But we're literally giving someone, a lot of times new to the workforce or new to an organization, we're giving them an opportunity to move up once a year for like the first 4 years of their career, learning and growing and learning more aspects of the business. So now, ultimately, the other parts of our company, they come look at my leads and my threes and fours to fill their roles. Because, our software's proprietary, so you can't go learn it, in a school. Yeah. But on top of it, they've got four or five areas mastered by the time those teams come looking. And so last year alone, there was about 800 or so folks from our organization. We promoted 87.
Wow.
So we're running about a 10. And that's the thing, is we're running about a 10% promotion rate. And so when we look at those, we try and really tout that to our front line and be like, look, this is why you want to be here, right? You're new, you'll get it. And then you're going to give opportunities to grow and move and make a little more money, learn a little more. And then you're going to be this really valuable asset for even bigger jobs that don't want to start from someone new in the organization. And it's pretty been effective. We're on about 4 years of the program now. And we started in the 30s and we're down in the teens now on attrition.
That's incredible. So to recap, because this is intriguing for me as well, because we believe in obviously, keeping our attrition rates as low as possible in career development. When I started my career, I was an agent. Nobody even thought about career growth. So it sounds like, the path development in your program sounds amazing. So basically for the first couple of years of my career, we'll call it, I learned these skill sets and then I can move up into the organization. I mean, people talk about money. That's the number one reason. I mean, I disagree. I don't think money is anything. I think it's all about the career growth and if I love my boss. And you guys are doing that both. I mean, I know your culture very well, just like ours. I mean, you guys have just created an unbelievable culture in addition to this career development. That's a great question, Manu.
Thank you.
All right. So the fourth thing I would say, our last question before we let our listeners go, because we know the attention span. So for all these other CX leaders out there, for all these people who are at different stages of their journey in customer experience, what advice would you give them so that they don't have to go read 20, 30, 40 books like you and I have done, like to avoid some of the pitfalls of that career growth and trajectory? You have any advice for our young listeners?
First thing I would say is keep it simple. The mistake I see most people make is they overcomplicate things. And so, you don't have to solve the world's problems by yourself. There's a lot of resources out there. So, look at what your resources are, look at what your partners out there are in the space. You know, a lot of them will talk to you for nothing, right? I mean, whether it's out on conferences or LinkedIn or other places, get in some of those groups that are in the space you're in so you can see what people are talking about. Podcasts such as this thing, you can learn a lot there. But take what you learn, look at your business specifically. Don't set too many goals, set just a couple, you know, that you're going to go after that year in your client experience space, and then really focus on, right? I tell my team a lot, I'd rather do three things extremely well than 10 things middle of the road, right? Especially if it's where we want to go to. And so focus your folks on that energy, going that path. You know, a controversial one, Jim, like I've removed average handle time from all my call centers, which if you talk to some people in call centers, they'd be like, oh, wait a minute. I don't let agents see it. I don't let supervisors see it. I have it on the back end so I can look at it, but it's not on any scorecard. It's not on any report or any dashboard. Instead, I have, did they solve the case? So their time to resolve the actual client problem. And I'm looking at that holistically. And instead, we measure the agents on how many problems they solve a month, not how long they spent on the phone. And goals like that, that's what I want to drive. I want to drive a solved problem. I don't want to drive a behavior of somebody worrying about have they been on the phone too long or not. So those are kind of keeping it simple goals that drive your team to the behavior you want to see.
Yeah, and I love your philosophy on that. You know, you're basically delivering the experience that matters to the customer versus the scorecard of AHT. And you're right. There's a lot of people talking about AHT, and it's just, we both know this. It's wrong if you're telling me I want to deliver this experience, but hold me to these other, because we've seen it in the past. It's just like, oh my goodness, the little red dots going off in the technology telling me I'm on the call too long. So what do? They want to get off the call. You've solved that one. Before I wrap us up, Manu, is there anything you wanted to add that someone can learn from you? Any advice or common pitfalls that you see or saw in your shorter career, but still long?
So two things. One thing that you've always taught me, Jim, and it has impacted a lot, and I want to tell people about it as well. So Scott, Jim has always said that when you look at improving things, don't look at it from the side of negation. Don't say, I want to reduce agent, reduce handle time, reduce this, reduce that. Look at it from this perspective. How can I make a difference for my customer? And if you solve that problem, every other metric will improve automatically. You just need to focusing on solving that problem. So as you said, Scott, I think experience matter more than a metric as, you know, ineffective as average handle time for certainly. And coming back, one thing, and since it's me, of course, I'll talk about AI. So one thing that I actually want to, tell young leaders, 5 years down the line, organization will not be talking about adopting AI. They'll be talking about optimizing AI. The ship has already sailed. It's making, you know, real world ROI impact. Now is the time for you to understand from user perspective, how can I contribute? What can I learn more about AI? How can I make sure that I have very clear use cases and I understand how AI functions? This is the time. You have 2026 to make sure that you understand AI enough in your organization that people rely on you. Otherwise, as Jim said, AI is not going to replace people, but people who don't use AI are going to get replaced.
That's a really good point, Manu. It's every leader out there should be playing with it in some way right now. And at least trying to leverage it, learn how the prompts worked and how one prompt can lead to a different answer than another. And if they're not teaching themselves that right now, or at least leading by that example, their teams won't. They're going to get caught behind.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, that's good. That's actually great. Today's been so awesome, by the way, just talking to you guys about life and helping people. I wish I had this technology back in the day before I had to read thousands of books. But, you know, just to recap, I mean, Scott, keeping it simple. I mean, that's powerful. A lot of us, we think so much, but we don't keep it simple. I mean, and you know, you guys don't have to solve problems for yourself. Scott said, I mean, there's so much. Like I tell everybody on my team, I read an article a day because at the end of the year, I'm going to become an expert, right? You know, conversations, Scott, like you're, I mean, think about it. We've been talking for years before, as you know, and it costs you zero just to help somebody because you never know, you know, I believe in my heart that our job, besides what we do every day, is to help others so that someday, like I'm training Manu. I tell him I want to retire, Scott, in less than 10 years. The only way I'm going to be able to do that is if I teach him to teach others. You know, the podcast definitely is a great example. You know, setting the simple goals is really one that struck because you're right. If I do three things really good this year, that's a win versus you tried to do your 10 and they were okay, right? I love that. I'm shocked that you are one of the few. There's a few out there that removed the AHT indicator. I love that about you because I know at the end of the day, you're caring about your end customer, which is really what we should all do. So I just wanted to thank both of you for joining. Hopefully our listeners are going to learn a little today. And you can connect with any of us on LinkedIn below. We'll put them in the comments, but you can connect with Scott. He's an unbelievable thought leader. Manu is a thought leader as well. And feel free to connect with myself. And we do publish some good content out there. So I wanted to thank you both for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I wish the best for all of us and our listeners. Thank you guys for staying tuned in. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Manu.